What is going on, comic fam? It is your boy, the Bearded Comic Bro, and I am joined again back to the show, Stephen Prince. Welcome back, man.
What's up, man? How's it going?
Man, I'm great. I'm glad you're back. This is second time on the show. You got a new Kickstarter coming out. And because you're back on the show, we know Rylan's going to have another Kickstarter starting soon because he's been on the show three times. So now that he sees you're up there, he's like, uh-oh.
we're it's funny. I joke with him, but it's kind of true. I'm constantly like riding his coattails. We're constantly flipping around. They did a website called Soda and Telepaths did the top, I think it was 51 or something, indie creators to watch. And it was like Rylan, then me, you know? One of these days, my name's going to be first.
But, so,
yeah.
Well, we'll just do another Kickstarter here. We'll bring you on because we know he's, as soon as he sees you hopped on, he's like, he has another Kickstarter already coming now.
Yeah. Oh, he does. I know he does. Yeah,
he does.
He actually does, which is he just finished one and he's got another one coming.
Nonstop. So, yeah. But enough about that, Hoogan. We're here talking about you. And you are in the midst of your Kickstarter for issue 3 of Monster Matador.
Yeah. Right? So it's the final issue of this, of our initial miniseries, Tangle of the Matadors. It's Matador versus Matador versus Monster. Only one Matador is going to come out of it alive. We've got a battle between kind of like regular folk, just kind of like an army who are fighting these monsters. It's just a massive 31-page fight fest with tons of kaiju and slaughter and a lot of fun stuff in there. And it's drawn by Fabio Alves, who, if you know Ryland, Fabio has done Banjax. They did the jump together on Kickstarter, and we actually were constantly, Fabio's kind of like the best kept secret in comics right now. And me and Ryland are always like, okay, you know, when Ryland's done with him, he's like, you got anything for him? I'm like, yeah, here's like another 60 pages of Monster Matador. And then when I'm done, he'll do the jump. So we're trying to keep him kind of like, we're trying to keep him ours.
No one else can use him.
His art is just, it keeps getting better and better. And it was already good. I mean, if you've read Banjax, if you've read The Jump, and the stuff he's doing on Monster Matador right now is the third issue is just amazing. And he's actually, for our next Monster Matador series, I'm going to tease it right now. He's going, he's bringing in the Bill Sienkiewicz influence. Ooh. Into his art. I mean, it's just the stuff he's doing is sick. So get it on the ground floor before it blows up. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And if you all are watching this interview, that means you follow my channel, which means Fabio is fantastic because he's the person who drew me into a comic book. So, I mean, first appearance, Fabio will always have a place in my heart as a creator.
He drew me into the second issue. I didn't even ask him to. He got so lazy. I had to send him a reference drawing for something because he just like a pose. So I sent him a pose and he just wound up drawing me instead of like the actual person in there. So
be on the lookout then for you in issue two?
Issue two, yeah. The beginning of issue two.
See, issue one, you get the Bearded Comic Bro. Issue two, you get Stephen Prince. Well, who knows who's going to show up in issue three?
And you actually got a cool cameo. My cameo is I'm the loser guy who's too scared to pull the trigger on the on the gun to shoot the monster. So my cameo is like,
I feel like that's Fabio just kind of messing with you a little bit. This is what you get for making me draw all of these monsters. You kind of teased it already about what issue three is. If for some reason someone's new to my channel and didn't get to watch last time you came on when you're promoting issue two, what is this world? Because this is a vast world you've created with Monster Matador. Right. What is it kind of about this world? And then more specifically, what you've done with Tango the Matador?
Right. So this is kind of like, you know, it's a, what do you call it? Like a mishmash of all these things I love. You know, it's like, a lot of, so I was just watching Kong versus Godzilla, right? And a lot of times with these kaiju stories, it's the monsters and all the people are just kind of like, you know, looking at it, or they're not really in the fight. And what kind of sets Monster Matador apart is that the people in this world are actually in the fight. Like the Matador is literally fighting these kaiju monsters, you know? It's not monster versus monster, although I'm sure we'll get there, but it's literally a guy with a cape and a sword who is going up against these massive, you know, kaiju monsters. And part of the fun of it, for me anyway, is like figuring out, okay, how is this, like, what are the mechanics of it? Like, how is this actually going to work? Because you have to, it has to be believable. You know, if you're going to put up a guy with a sword and a cape against the monster, how is he actually going to kill it?
Yeah.
So that's part of the fun, is actually like that journey of seeing just how exactly they're going to like figure out how to kill the monster. And, you know, this one, you know, Monster Matador, it's kind of like, I mean, I love 80s action movies and, you know, post-apocalyptic movies like Mad Max. And it's kind of like, you know, if you took Fury Road, right? And, you know, Mad Max was a Matador. Yeah. That's kind of like, you know, the kind of gist behind it.
Yeah.
It's you know, we tell kind of a very, it's also like a human story, because he has a daughter. Mm-hmm. So like he's fighting these monsters because he wants to make a better place for his daughter. Because he doesn't want her to grow up in a crappy world. Yeah. And he doesn't want her to have to like fight these things. And, you know, so there's also kind of like, you know, the whole, you know, metaphor of like what every parent kind of has to like,
right,
deal with, is like, you know, how do I make the world better? Like, you know, for my kids, because I don't want them to grow up and like, you kind of want to shield them from all the bad stuff. And that's kind of like, he's doing this to shield her from it. But as the story goes along, the real world, you know, the real world that they live in kind of creeps in. Mm-hmm. And kind of see how he has to deal with that and everything. So,
yeah. So you got this kind of story of, like you said, the kaiju monsters.
Yeah.
How did you come about saying, you know, I don't want someone in a mech suit fighting them, I want a matador? Like, where did that process come through?
It's, you know, I have a background, I guess, you know, I used to do improv and I used to write more comedies, which is funny that I'm writing a hardcore action book, because like, it really like, oh, there goes my light, cut my teeth kind of writing comedy books. But part of the thing about comedy is that, you know, you have to sell it, you have to believe it, right? And like, I'm a big Peter Sellers fan, right?
Okay.
And this was kind of based on, not based on, but like influenced by a movie he did called The Bobo. And in it, he plays a matador. He's called Juan Bautista, the greatest singing matador in all of Spain. And part of the thing about that film, and part of like Peter Sellers' approach to acting, or his comedy, whether it's, you know, this character or like, you know, the Pink Panther, Inspector Clouseau, right, is that he, even though these characters, like from the audience perspective, are just like nuts, you know, like Inspector Clouseau is just like, he's crazy, right? But from the character's perspective, he respects the character. You know, he doesn't play the character like they're idiots. He doesn't, even though everyone else thinks they're idiots, he plays the character straight. So like you know, you believe all that, you know, you believe the world that they're creating, because they're not making fun of it, you know? Right. And it's similar with Monster Matador, with the Matador, is that the Matador, like, it's not like the kind of thing where everyone's cracking jokes. It's like, oh, hey, like, here's a guy with a cape and whatever, you know, like he's always on, you know, he's very kind of like, he doesn't joke about like fighting a monster, even though everyone around him might, like, when he walks in the room, might be like, dude, you're really going to go fight that with a cape and a sword? He's like, you know, in his mind, he's like, dude, I'm a matador. This is what I do. Right.
Right.
Matador in English translates to killer. So essentially, like, the book is Monster Killer, you know, he's a killer. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like the approach that we've taken with it, is that the Matador takes this world and his place in it very seriously. And because of that, you know, the reader is able to accept the world, because ultimately you have to accept that a guy with a cape and a sword is going to be able to go up, you know, up against the monster and kill it. And if I can't sell you on that, then the whole, you know, concept of the book falls apart.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the approach of it.
No, it makes sense. Like you said, of selling it, that it's not like tongue in cheek, like, no, that like the character actually believes it. And because the character believes it, we in turn as the audience go,
right,
oh, because they're not drawing light. You're not drawing light to like, well, this is silly. A matador shouldn't be able to fight a monster. Right. Like, we don't even think that. Like, we focus in on like, oh yeah, like absolutely. Like, dude's a boss swordman, like, you know, and everything like that. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
We've talked about Fabio and his artwork already. Like, you're in the process of coming up with these monsters that our matador has to face. How do you come about figuring out what monsters you want to do? And then B, how do you translate to like sharing that vision with Fabio? Like, do you like, is it just like this, I want this type of monster and he goes, or do you give like some like, where's that process for you guys?
With this book, it's interesting because Fabio wasn't the original artist for it. The original artist that was supposed to do it got busy and then started doing his own thing. And Fabio just kind of fell into my lap because Ryland, he had just finished the jump and Ryland was like, oh, hey, if you need someone, grab him, because, you know, and, you know, the rest is history. But as we, you know, worked on the book together, you know, we kind of became simpatico, you know. By the time he was doing, I think, issue two, we were a lot more comfortable, and he was just kind of like adding, like, you see the difference. He's just much more confident and like settled into the world. With the book that's coming next, which is going to be in the fall, usually like I'll kind of give him like he's a horror guy. He likes horror. So I kind of wrote the next one kind of tailored to his, to what he wants to do. So it's a little more like moody. And in terms of coming up with monsters, like this one, I started writing it right when COVID hit.
Uh-huh.
And I had a different idea for a monster for it. And it just kind of changed because in the next one, it's kind of like the matador in a way. And there's a subplot in Tangle, the matadors, that takes place in South Africa where they're fighting these zombies. Mm-hmm. And essentially what that kind of evolved into is that the matador is fighting a virus. Mm-hmm. How do you fight a virus? How do you fight something that you can't physically, you know?
Yeah.
And that fit in a lot with like the horror thing, you know, that Fabio likes, because it's more just kind of like, you know, you don't really know what you're fighting, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a lot more moody. It's a little creepier. And like I said, he's bringing in that Bill Sienkiewicz influence to it. So it's just like,
yes,
the whole nother level. It's tricky sometimes because he doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
He runs everything through a translator and I at this point, like, I kind of know what he likes, you know,
yeah,
and what he likes to draw. And I still make it painful for him, you know, but you just kind of, it's like when you're in a working relationship like that, you just kind of like feed off each other. And what our process, I tend to write the script. I'll write the full script. I'll send the script. And then he does his layouts, and as he's doing layouts, we'll start to really kind of, I don't want to say shape the story, but we'll solidify it. You know, we'll make like little changes here and there. We'll kind of like smooth everything out. Like, we work a lot closer in that stage.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier for us to communicate that way than it is kind of beforehand, if that makes sense, because we're communicating more through the art. Because sometimes the translation program, I was actually laughing about this with Ryland, because when we were doing the first issue, sometimes he would draw stuff and I'm like, this is not in the script. Like, what are you, like, where is this even coming from? And I didn't realize is that he was running everything through a translation program. Mm-hmm. So the translations are not always, so I've had to actually adapt the way I write my scripts.
Gotcha.
To not be as like conversational in the way that I would like talk to you, or to not use right. like euphemisms that might translate literally to him, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, he had one guy just eating like a sandwich or something. And I'm like, Fabio, they're in the middle of like, you know, where's he getting like a 12 inch sub, you know, like there's no Subway around, like
just like eat fresh.
Yeah, eat fresh. It's like, you know, they didn't stop at the supermarket and pick up a sandwich, you know. But it's you know, it those are things that like now, you know, as a writer, when I'm writing, it's silly because, but you have to keep that stuff in mind, you know. And sometimes he'll send me stuff that runs through and I don't, you know, it's so we kind of have to like you know, talk things out a little. But yeah, it's fun. It's funny.
I feel like Fabio probably though is now at the stage like where he knows things get lost in translation. So now he just will randomly draw something into your script and you'll be like, what did this? How did I mess this up? And just some random dude just eating a slushy in the desert.
So there's a panel in issue number 3. And it's the most random thing, but it's cool as fuck. And he emailed me. He's like, here's the page. By the way, I'm not taking out the last panel. And if you want to fight me about it, I'll fly to Vegas and we can fight. And I'm like, I almost need to do like a director's cut or something and add more story into it, just because this panel is like an entire book unto itself. It's it's weird, but it's like, but at the same time, it's fun because it's like little things like that yeah. add like layers and depth to the world, because as a reader, you see that and you go, oh, wow, you know, where's all this, you know what I mean? It kind of like, and as we build out the story, you know, those things, you know, you start to see those answers and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's been fun working with him. Yeah.
So let's talk about your Kickstarter a little bit. So we've talked about the book and the process a little bit for people. Yeah. If someone's, again, if they're new, they're just hearing about this for the first time. What are some tiers on this Kickstarter that's going on right now that you're like, this would definitely be one to check out for sure.
So we've got like, you know, the basic catch up tier, which is all 3 covers. You know, I throw in, even though I throw in prints, stickers, all that kind of stuff. I've done, if you do the physical copies, I usually write, I'll do a sketch for everybody that I send in there. That's like the basic stuff. And then we have Kickstarter has allowed us to do an add-on store now.
Mm-hmm.
So if like you want like Fabio's cover from issue 3, but like there are variant covers. We have like a very limited amount. We did like a Beastie Boys homage variant cover, which I think is pretty cool. It's the Check Your Head album, but with yes. like the Matadors. You can get those in the add-on store. There's an artist in this campaign for issue 3, Carlos Dirmas, who uh-huh. did a variant cover. And he's got this kind of like, it's so deep. It's like those Bernie Wrightson, like that Frankenstein, just, you know,
yes.
The ink work, like, is just incredible. We have a glow in the dark print. Oh, it's right here, actually.
Oh, how fitting. So did you one glow in the dark last time, right? Or were you looking into
it? Yeah, it's the same one. It's yeah. it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you're not going to sell all of them. So
right.
we just put it back. But these are limited to, what is it, 55.
Those are sweet.
There's the monster that glows when you turn it off. And it was, these are printed by Nakatomi Print Labs.
Oh, yeah.
Nakatomi, they're kind of like Mondo.
Oh, yeah.
Austin. They do, they've been doing concert posters for Metallica and things like that. So
were Mondo the ones that did the posters for like the Batman, the animated series?
Yeah. So it's that level of quality. So these are really, they're really nice. And they're priced, you know, they're priced. You get the book with it. You get some other stuff with it. And I think we have sketch cards in the add-on store. And then we have a tier. I think we have three left. It's an original drawing from Fabio. Yeah. And those are, Fabio draws the book digitally. So, and he lives in Brazil. So good luck getting any art from Fabio.
But, right.
Yeah. Right. So get on it. Right. Okay. So yeah, it's cool. And then if, you know, feel free to, anyone can reach out and I'm happy to make it work. You know, it's at the end of the day, like, you know, I want people to read the book, and the response has been really good. So it's the typical response I get is that, like, oh, it's not what I expected it to be, which is good. You know,
you're like, thank you.
You're like, I'm like, thanks. Well, I think people are expecting like a monster book. And if you've read, if you like, look at like, I don't know, like the typical kind of like Godzilla comics and stuff, or like they follow a specific kind of structure and format where this is like, it's not like those. So it's, if you wouldn't read a Godzilla comic, you would probably read Monster Manator. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just that it's different, you know, it's not what you expect it to be. So,
well, and I think that plays into it. Like you said, you have, in at least in this run too, you have Matador versus Matador, you have Matador versus Monster. You then have the subplot of, you know, of the other, you know, people dealing with what they're dealing with. So it's a layered story that it's just not like Godzilla fighting Kong. Like there's more to it. So yeah, if you go into it thinking like it's just going to be a monster knockout slugfest the whole time, you're like, oh, this isn't like, but still is super action packed. And yeah, that's really dope for sure. Yeah. So people can play catch up if like, they're like, hey, we missed out. We want to get issues 1 and 2 and kind of explore into the world more of this.
Yeah. And mention the bearded comic guy and I'll throw in some prints and stuff like that.
There you go.
I'll throw in whatever extra stuff I have.
There you go. Mention me. You heard it here first. I'll throw in something special for you. Man, we'll see if any people do that. We know now. We know if you're watching my show.
That's right.
Now we know. Now we're going to catch you with little incentives.
Yeah.
So as you create the comic and you've created this character, have you ever sat of like and thought like, if, you know, this was to go into like a film or TV someday, like who would be like a dream casting for your main character?
So I was actually thinking about this. There's an actor, Gabriel Luna.
Okay.
He was in, he was Ghost Rider in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm.
He was in the last Terminator movie. And I was on, I don't know what it was, Instagram or Twitter or something. And just, I came across a picture of him and he had a mustache and he had his hair kind of like a little longer and like mussed up like the Matador. And I was like, that's him. So I was like right there. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's tricky, you know, you need, because the Matador has presence, you know, I mean, you know, if you've ever seen Matadors also in like real life or whatever, they're, you know, I mean, these are guys who are literally, you know, risking, you know, so it's someone who needs, like, you have to have like a certain weight and presence to it.
Right.
And, you know, 30 years ago, I think, you know, I would have said, Antonio Banderas or something, you know, cause he's just got that, you know, but Gabe Luna, he's, if you see a picture of him with the mustache and you're like, okay,
you're like, that's it. Yeah.
And he fought Arnold, you know, he fought the Terminator. So.
So if you can fight Arnold, you can fight a kaiju monster. Like,
exactly, yeah.
And and it's fitting because I'm wearing my Stop Whining, my Arnold shirt right now. So it's meant to be. Yeah. That's awesome. So what do you have? I mean, you mentioned you have another Kickstarter coming up in the fall. Is all your focus kind of in the world of Monster Matador right now with your comics? Or are you kind of doing other things as well, or you can't talk about if you are, or whatever?
Yeah, it's so right now, like, I think like any creator, you've got a million different things.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's always kind of tripped me up is just working on having too many balls in the air.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, even though comics are, you know, even though everyone says, oh, comics are so cheap to make, right? They're relatively cheap to make in the sense that, yes, you're not spending $2 million or whatever like you would for a small film, but, you know, comics aren't cheap, you know. No. Especially, you know, I mean, Fabio is a professional artist. Alex Zieff, who was our colorist, is a professional colorist, you know. Part of the reason we do Kickstarters, I mean, you know, I pay them up front, and, you know, you get a beautiful book out of it. So it's kind of like, for me, it's like, I want to get like Monster Matador kind of like grounded. I want to get it like kind of settled in and kind of before I move on to anything else.
Yeah.
So I have, Fabio and I have talked about doing another book, which we've started developing. It's a horror book. We did a kind of a, call it like a warm-up short story, in a book called The Nightmare Theater Anthology, which was, also kickstarted back in, I want to say October or so. A bunch of like indie creators, Clay Adams, Dave Schrader.
I think I supported that Kickstarter, actually.
We'll say you did. It's fine.
Well, I don't want
to. The books haven't. No. It hasn't. It's a hardcover. I think they printed it in Asia.
Okay.
I think they're still waiting on it. It hasn't.
But when you said October, I was like, I felt like I did, but then it feels like for most Kickstarters longer. So that makes sense. Okay. So yes, I did then. I'm almost positive I did. So.
Yeah. So we did like a short kind of four pager.
Oh, nice.
And because Fabio lives in Brazil, he originally had this idea of like a magic sort of thing taking place in London. But I was like, everyone, you know, it's like, you already have John Constantine. It's like, you can't really do it. And I thought it would be interesting because no one really does. Everything's either in New York or whatever. And since Fabio's in Brazil, I thought it would be cool to do something for him anyway, something that's familiar for him, that's closer to home. So I found like a little urban legend from there that kind of translated into a story. And it's, and the plan is to do a book, and it's kind of like the mystical underbelly of Brazil.
Nice. And
that's kind of the gist of it. So we're hoping we can get that out maybe toward the end of 2022.
Okay.
But nice. I mean, and that's the thing, like, that's how, you know, you kind of have to plan.
It's like, so far out. And I think that's what, like you said, people don't understand sometimes, like, it's not cheap to make comics. And I would have been one of those people until I started having all you creators on, and they're like, yeah. Oh, we do them. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I feel bad complaining about a $3.99 comic book for what you
had. Yeah. And one thing we're doing with Monster Matador, and I hope it works, we're going to see, is that we're shifting to, doing like three Kickstarters a year, man, it's just like, it's
hard. Yeah.
And I'm kind of, I don't really want to go to a publisher with it. But it's, we're going to shift to little graphic novels.
Okay.
So the next one is going to be a complete one-shot 64-page story.
Oh, nice.
And it, for the backers in the long run, it turns out it's cheaper, you know, because... Yeah. And in that way too, like, one of the things you find with the audience is sometimes they'll read issue one. I mean, everyone's got so much to do, and you're getting books, and with Kickstarter, because the books just kind of come at random intervals.
Right.
Like, what I'm finding on my third campaign is that a lot of people who missed the second campaign were like, oh yeah, I just read the first issue, you know? So now I'm gonna, you know, which is great, but like, it's trying to figure out a way, like, you know, if we did like one book a year, it lets Fabio really kind of like focus and do like, you know, 60 pages, like a straight shot.
Yeah.
And then, so I've actually got it scheduled, you know, I mean, not scheduled, but I have the series kind of planned out, kind of like the main story will be 9 books.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hopefully we can do like kind of spin-offs or one shots or things like that. But
yeah, well, and it makes sense if you can put the effort into it to do it into one campaign, because like you said, I haven't even thought about it, you know, of like, oh, someone read issue one and they're like, oh, cool. Oh, issue two is coming out on this Kickstarter. Well, I'm going to wait to do it till issue three Kickstarter. And then I'll just get this second issue on a, you know, so it makes sense if you have the time and you have the planning and vision to say, let's just do it all, you know, in a shorter, and it's less, I feel like you said, you're not
and you're running. Getting, and you're getting a whole story too, yeah. Which I think is, I've been thinking this since like, you know, 2010 or whatever. I keep waiting for the industry to kind of shift to that. It's great, but it's also mind-boggling that like the single issue is still like, you know, the main kind of delivery. But when talking to people and like even with myself, what I find is like people just have stacks and stacks and stacks, you know. And with Kickstarter, it's tricky because we're still establishing the book and ourselves, you know. So it's in the beginning now, it's a little trickier because you haven't earned that kind of trust necessarily right. with all the readership. You know, I think the people that have been reading, you know, we're getting a lot of familiar faces, a lot of people coming back, which is great, but you're still kind of building that trust with your audience. And so much of that, if you're doing them like I did this year, which is like every 3-4 months, it's hard because you're not necessarily at the top of the pile yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just finding ways, number one, to get it to the audience in one shot, but also kind of like, you know, with Kickstarter, I'm always kind of like thankful of all the people that back, because you're really like paying a premium, you know, to help us make this book a reality, you know, and I'm very thankful for that. And I know, you know, other Kickstarter creators are, but I know too, in when you're doing a book like Monster Matador or something where you know it's going to be continuous, that you're, you know, over time, if you're doing, you know, it's asking, you're asking a lot, you know what I mean? Like over time. So anyway, like, I, you know, to minimize that and still give readers like, you know, more bang for that buck in that way is like, you know.
Well, and I think you do that, and the creators who are doing Kickstarter right do that. I mean, like, I still have my handwritten note that you did, you know, with the sketch, like, and I like, to me, that's something like that you can't get just getting your book off a shelf. So like, you know, I think that's what then also wins people of like, you know, you understand, because I know a lot of you guys who do Kickstarters, you back other art creators too, do Kickstarters. So you know what we as comic fans go through of backing Kickstarters, because you do it too.
I hate when people ship them in just freaking envelopes. I use Gemini mailers, so don't worry, they will come in mint condition. I do not ship in padded envelopes.
Yeah, I've heard
like
some. The
biggest, like, my heart sinks every time I back a Kickstarter and I get a padded envelope.
I had that. It wasn't a Kickstarter, I had it at one time, and it was an eBay, and I shouldn't be that upset because it was just my first issue of Coneheads, but I was super upset because it was slightly bent. They're like, they just wrote, don't bend on it. Like, that's going to work. Like, come on.
Right. It's might as well just write bend.
That's like telling my kids, like, hey, here's a plate of fresh hot cookies here. Like, don't touch it though. Like, don't eat it. I'm going to leave for 2 hours now.
Yeah. I was reading somewhere that actually, like, the worst thing you can do on an envelope is write, do not bend, because you're just asking for, you know, like, someone's having a bad day. It's going to be
like, well, sorry. Well, Stephen, thank you just so much for taking some time to talk about Monster Matador. The gang, the Kickstarter is live. The link for the Kickstarter is in the description below. Remember, he said, mention me. You might get a little something. You never know. So, Stephen, where can people find you, though, and follow along with what you're doing?
You can find me at Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Monster Matador. Just type in Monster Matador, you'll find me. I'm on Twitter also as The Stephen Prince. So I've got two accounts on there, but they're basically the same thing. So just, you know, and monstermatador.com, which I have to update more often, but.
So, and all the links are below.
Oh, you know what? I'll tell you what, if you mention the Bearded Comic Guy, I will throw in a digital copy of Tales from the World of Monster Matador, which is a comic that I co-wrote with Rylan Grant. I drew it, and it's colored by his colorist from Aberrant, and it's it takes place on the night the monsters attack the world.
Okay.
And it's our Batman parody. So essentially, the monsters come and all the movie Batman kind of heed the call, and so they meet up on the top of Nakatomi Tower, and we find out who the one true Dark Knight is.
That's gang. There you go.
So mention Greg. I'll throw that PDF in there.
There you go. That's fantastic. Oh. Yeah. Steven, again, thank you just so much for taking some time to talk about your book and your Kickstarter with me. And I will be excited to have you back on in the fall when you're, or whenever, honestly. I mean, we can do anything you want to talk. We can just come on. We'll talk. We'll make up our own shows. It's fine. But,
we could talk about what we were talking about before your collecting. Yeah.
Yeah. So awesome. Yeah. Well, gang, with that being said, hopefully you can find some time to curl up, grab a book, and nerd out. Peace.